Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Say the Lord is good. And His mercy, His mercy endures forever. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. The movie, A Great Awakening, is on Amazon. It still costs you to rent it, but I think they've got it down to, because it was just on the movies just a couple of weeks ago, but I think they've got it down to $5.99. And so just get that from Pastor John. He'll be glad to pay for that for you. So no problem for him. Glory to God. Amen. And then today, Dean, stand up. Everybody just saw you, but stand up and turn around. Dean Jones is turned 77 years old this week. Now, if I'd have told you Dean turned 65, you'd go, well, yeah, but isn't he a great example? Glory to God. Amen. Looking good. Sounding good. Praise God. And then also, how many of you remember Bob and Sarah Badger? A lot of you, Bob and Sarah Badger, they came to the church about the time we moved into this building. They came from across the state line in Georgia toward Dalton, and they were around here for a number of years and were a real blessing to the church. And then they got, you know, as they got older and so forth, they started going to church down there more toward Dalton. But Brother Bob at 91 passed away. He was in the military all his life, and he was from the Florida area, so he was buried in Ocala, Florida. But there's going to be a memorial. So his family is having a memorial service for people that live up in this area of the country on Monday at 6 o'clock right here at Cleveland Christian Fellowship. Is that right? Monday, 6 o'clock, right here. I should know because I'm doing the service. But anyway, it's Monday at 6 o'clock. And so that'll be tomorrow. Praise God. Amen. Well, the Lord is good. Praise God. Are you ready for the Word of God?
Yes.
Amen. Praise God. Say, I got my ears on. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. Let's open our Bibles to John chapter 11.
Amen.
Or find your Bibles in your phone or whatever you find. Of course, the scriptures will be on the overhead. John chapter 11. We're going to begin in verse number 38 in just a moment. At this point, you know, you're familiar with this story. Lazarus has died and been buried, and Jesus is at the tomb of Lazarus. That's where we pick up this story. Verse 11:38, then Jesus, again groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he's been dead for 4 days. Jesus said to her, did not I say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? Notice that, if you believe, you see the glory of God. If you believe, you see the glory of God. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me, and I know that you always hear me, but because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. Now when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he who had died came out bound, hand and foot, with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. So Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. Everybody say, loose him and let him go.
Loose him and let him go.
Amen. Lazarus was alive, but he was bound. He was restricted because of his grave clothes. You know, in accordance with the way Jews buried people, they would wrap people up like they were in a mummy. You know, they would wrap their fingers and wrap their arms and wrap them shut. So it's like you tied somebody up. Well, if I brought Dean up to the front this morning and wrapped him up, he'd be alive. But if I tried to get him to walk, he could hop a little bit, and he might even fall down. He would be greatly hindered because he was tied up. Well, Lazarus was tied up because of his grave clothes. Amen. He was alive, but still bound. So Jesus said, loose him and let him go. Those grave clothes restricted his movement. They impeded him and his ability to walk. Amen. And so those grave clothes hindered him. Now, many people, many theologians, and many preachers throughout the centuries see this as a picture of some Christians. They are truly born again. They're alive unto God. They have passed from death to life, according to the scriptures. They are alive spiritually, but they are still bound by some things of the old life. And it's true of all of us that when we are born again, we were set free and delivered and healed and made a brand new person in Christ Jesus. Glory to God. But we still have the same old mind we always had. We still have the same old body you always had. I mean, if you were skinny when you got saved, you were still skinny after you got saved. Your body didn't change. I could have said fat, but I thought skinny was better. You know, if you had a lot of hair, I could have said bald, but you get the picture. Amen. And you still have the same mental patterns. Now, the new birth experience is so powerful and so dramatic and so real that a lot of times it affects us in our minds, in our emotions, in our bodies. And you can meet people that say, man, I was an alcoholic for the last 20 years, and the second I got saved, I never desired another drink of alcohol. The second I got saved, I was set free from this problem and that problem. But that same person will say, but man, I had a struggle trying to overcome smoking cigarettes. You understand what I'm saying? And so it's up to us to renew our minds and to believe the truth and receive by faith all that Jesus did for us. We may be alive, born again. It can be. It's possible to be born again, but still be bound or restricted or impeded or hindered by the grave clothes of the old man. Andrew Womack said this. I'll read from him. He says, Lazarus was raised from the dead, but he was still bound. This illustrates salvation. When we get born again, we are raised to new life in Christ, but still may be bound with some of the old habits and thoughts of our previous lives. We have to be set free from those old grave clothes through the truths of God's Word. So Lazarus was raised with his grave clothes still intact. Symbolically, like many Christians, the Bible speaks of us passing from death unto new life when we become born again. John 5:24, 1 John 3:14. But it is also true that in the physical and emotional realm, we bring with us our grave clothes from our old lives. That is, our habits and attitudes and so forth. And we need to be loose to fully enjoy our new lives. And that's what we do when we preach the gospel to people. That's what we do when we preach the truth to people. Because you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And so Warren Wiersbe, you know I like his commentary, famous Baptist commentary. He says, the experience of Lazarus is a good illustration of what happens to a sinner when he trusts in the Savior. Lazarus was dead, and as all sinners are dead, he was decayed because death and decay go together. All lost people are spiritually dead. They are sinners. But some are more decayed than others. No one is more dead than the other. I mean, if you're dead, you're dead. If you're a sinner, you may be the worst sinner that ever lived, but you're no different than the best moral sinner that ever lived. It's like I always said, how many holes does it take to sink your boat? It only takes one. You can have 100 holes in your boat, or you can have one hole in your boat. But if it's a big enough hole and you're out in a little raft at sea, it's going to sink your boat. Then a sinner is dead. But some sinners lived a more depraved life, and because they were deeper and deeper into sin than others, sometimes they have more to renew their minds to. Now, that doesn't mean that Jesus' blood didn't reach down and set them free, but you know, again, they have to renew their minds. That's what he's talking about here. He says, Lazarus was raised from the dead by the power of God, and all who trust in Christ have been given new life and lifted out of the graveyard of sin. Can you say amen? Amen. Lazarus was set free from the grave clothes and given new liberty. He was set free from the grave clothes. You find him seated with Christ at the table, and all believers are seated with Christ in heavenly places. Glory to God, enjoying spiritual food and fellowship with the Father. Now, with that in mind, let's turn over to Ephesians chapter 4. And look at verses 17 through 27, 24 rather. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 17. Ephesians 4:17 says, and this I say therefore and testify of the Lord. Now, Paul is writing to the Ephesian believers. These are believers. Ephesians are Gentile believers. In other words, they are non-Jewish believers. Amen. But these Gentiles have been saved. And he says, therefore, I tell you that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk. What does it mean as the rest of the Gentiles walk? Or other Gentiles? He means Gentiles that haven't been saved. I don't want you to live like other Gentiles. In other words, like people that have been unsaved. In the futility of their minds, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God. That's a picture of a sinner. They're alienated from God's life. They haven't been born again because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past filling, feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness to work all uncleanness with greediness, but you have not so learned Christ. If indeed, verse 21, you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct. I think, how does the King James read that you put off the conversation of the old man? Put off the former conversation of the old man. Now, it does not say to put off the old man. The old man is dead. It says put off the conversation. Conversation there in the King James means the conduct, the behavior, the lifestyle of the old man. You've been born again, so don't act like a sinner anymore. Don't be a carnal Christian, see? So this says, for you have put off your former conversation, the old man, well, there it is, King James Version, the conduct of the old man, which is a corrupt according to the deceitful lust. The word put off there, and we're going to read the word put on in a minute, have to do with like putting off dirty clothes and putting on new clothes. You know, if you ever had on grimy, dirty clothes, it's just nice to get to take them off, isn't it? And the word put off means to cast them away from you, sling them away from you, get rid of them, take them off. Take off the old clothes, put on, glory to God. And it says, and be renewed, verse 23, in the spirit of your mind, and put on literally means clothe yourself with the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. So we are to cast off the conduct and conversation of the old man, be renewed in the spirit of our mind, and we are to put on the new man and walk in the light of our identity in Christ Jesus. See, really, here's the problem we have with folk right here. Glory to God. It's not a self-improvement course. Becoming a Christian is not just trying to be better. Amen? Are you listening to me? In other words, so many people, that they love the Lord and they want to live right and they want to live holy lives, but what they do is they just try to make themselves better. It's not about trying to do better. It's about believing who you are in Christ. It's about discovering your true identity. I'm not who I used to be. I don't care what it seems like or feels like or smells like or looks like. I am not that old person anymore. I'm a brand new creature in Christ Jesus. I've been born again. Old things are dead and passed away. They have no more power over me. The devil has no more power over me. Sin has no more dominion over me. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. Amen. Glory to God. See, that's my true identity. But Christians sometimes feel extremely guilty, and they're full of guilt and shame, and they don't believe they're forgiven. They're basing their identity on who they used to be or according to their feelings instead of walking by faith in what the Son of God has done for them. I remember that as I was sitting here this morning, so I walked out to get it, something I read by Miss C. Newsom in her little book, The Life of Faith. She said, Satan will come and bring you some evil things, and he has the power to make you feel them and tries to make you believe they are the same old things you used to have or used to be. They are not. Amen. Tell Satan that Jesus separated you from these old things and that you refuse to have these things from Satan, because God says, neither give place to the devil. Glory to God. You must believe. Say believe. You must believe you are separated from the old things. You must believe you are separated from the old things, even if you feel them in all their power. You must believe you have the holy things of Christ in you when you cannot find one of them. God's law to everybody is unchangeable, and it is simply this: as you believe, so be it unto you. Not as you seem, not as you feel, but as you believe. Well, I believe that I'm who Christ says I am. That's my identity. It's not a behavior modification program. It's an identity crisis. Don't identify with the person you used to be before you got saved, or because of the past experiences, or because of the things you were exposed to or associated with as a sinner. Believe that you are now associated with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and you are who He says you are. Amen. Glory to God. Can you say amen? So I like this from the J.B. Phillips translation. That is what we just read, Ephesians chapter 4, 17 through 24 there. It says, this is my instruction then, which I give to you from God. Do not live any longer as the Gentiles live, for they live blindfold, in a world of illusion and cut off from the life of God through ignorance and insensitivity. They have stifled their consciences and then surrendered themselves to sensuality, practicing any form of impurity which lust can suggest. But you have learned nothing like that from Christ if you have really heard his voice and understood the truth that he has taught you. No, what you have learned was to fling off the dirty clothes of the old way of living, which were rotted through and through with lust delusion, and with yourselves mentally and spiritually remade, put on the clean, fresh clothes of the new life, which was made by God's design for righteousness and the holiness, which is no illusion. Oh, glory to God. And then again from Warren Wiersbe. He says, we have believed the truth. We have received the life of God. Therefore, we walk in the way and not walk after the example of the unsaved world. He says, but this experience of salvation goes even deeper than this, for it has resulted in a whole new position before God. The old man, the former life, has been put away, and we can now walk in newness of life through Christ. That's what this verse tells us. It's a summary of Romans 5, chapters 5 through 8, where Paul explained the believer's identification with Christ in death, burial, and resurrection. He also dealt with this in Ephesians 2 as well as in Colossians 3. As Christians, we have not simply changed our minds. We have totally changed our citizenship. We have become a new creation in Christ, and therefore the ideas and desires of the old creation no longer should control our lives. If we've been controlled by the conduct of the old man because of our past associations, it's because we're identifying with those things instead of identifying with Christ. And it's because we're still bound by the grave clothes of the old man. We're brand new people. I like what Charles Spurgeon said. You know, this movie that we saw Wednesday night was about the first Great Awakening. Charles Spurgeon was involved in the second Great Awakening in America. He was called the Prince of Preachers. And Charles Spurgeon said, the scripture does not say you must be improved, but you must be born again. I like that, don't you? Praise God. So he goes on to say, the simplest illustration of this great truth is given in John 11, the resurrection of Lazarus. Our Lord's friend Lazarus had been in the grave 4 days when Jesus and his disciples arrived at Bethany. And even Martha admitted that by now the decaying body would smell. But Jesus spoke the word and Lazarus came forth alive. Glory to God. Notice our Lord's next word, loose him and let him go. Take off the grave clothes. Lazarus no longer belonged to the old dominion of death. He was now alive. Why go about wearing grave clothes? Take off the old and put on the new. This was Paul's argument. You no longer belong to the old corruption of sin. You belong to the new creation in Christ. So take off the grave clothes. How do we do this? Be renewed in the spirit of your mind, Ephesians 4:23. See, sandwiched right in between take off the old and put on the new is be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Conversion is a crisis that leads to a process. Through Christ, once and for all, we have been given a new position in his new creation. But day by day, we must, by faith, appropriate what he has given us. The word of God renews our mind as we surrender our will to him. Sanctify them through thy truth. The word is truth. As the mind understands the truth of God's word, it is transformed by the Spirit, and this renewal leads to a changed life. Physically, you are what you eat, but spiritually, you are what you think. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he, Proverbs 23:7. This is why it's so important to spend time with God in his word and renew your minds to the truth of God's word. Can you say amen? Amen. Listen, we are absolutely, completely delivered and set free from every curse and from anything from our past lives. Jesus redeemed us and set us free. But as always, we have to, number one, appropriate by faith what he did for us. So you see, if somebody is not appropriating by faith what Jesus did for them, they're alive, but they're still bound. Amen. They're still cursed, if you want to put it that way. But it's not Jesus' fault. It's just because they haven't appropriated by faith what rightfully belongs to them. And you see, number two, we have to walk in the light of who we are and what belongs to us, and what we can do in Christ Jesus. We have to walk in the light of the truth of our new identity and stop believing we are the old man. We are not. The fact is, we all know Christians who struggle and suffer with all kind of things that Jesus set us free from. They need to be released from their grave clothes, so we preach and teach the truth. We know the truth. When you know the truth sets you free, but let's analyze that a little bit. If you really break that scripture down, what it's saying is this: when you have a revelation of the truth, so that you really believe it with all your heart more than you believe anything else, when you have a revelation of the truth, then you'll believe it, then you'll act on it, and then you'll walk in the light of it. And when you have that kind of revelation of the truth, then the truth sets you free. Amen. Praise God. So I want to share with you how to overcome and take off some grave clothes that cause people to struggle and suffer. Are you listening to me? Grave clothes hinder and impede and restrict Christians in their walk with the Lord. Grave clothes cause people to struggle to overcome. Sometimes people are struggling and they don't know why they're struggling. I hope to reveal some things to you so you can see, oh, this is why I'm having such a struggle in this area. Amen. And so grave clothes are things that lead to, or you could say it this way, grave clothes are the root cause of a lot of wrong thinking and wrong believing and wrong attitudes and wrong behavior and unnecessary suffering. So let's, for teaching purposes, just call this grave clothes we need to put off. Grave clothes that we need to put off. And how we do that. How we do that. Are you listening? Glory to God. Number one is because of wrong associations. And I've taught on wrong associations for a lot of years because I just convinced people don't really get a hold of this as much as they should. But follow me as we go along here. You know, I was just reading just last week in just my daily Bible reading. Happened to be reading in the Old Testament some. And in 1 Kings 21:25, talking about King Ahab, one of the kings of the king of Israel. And in 1 Kings 21:25, it says, there was no one like Ahab who sold himself to do wickedness in the sight of the Lord. He was the most wicked king in the history of Israel's kingdom. It said, no one like Ahab who sold himself to do wickedness in the sight of the Lord because Jezebel, his wife, stirred him up. She stirred him up. He was associated with Jezebel, and that association stirred him up to do evil. Amen. My cross reference says his wife incited him to do evil. She stirred him up to do evil. She incited him to do evil. Other translations say she influenced him to do evil. Amen. It is a biblical law. You know what a law is? A law is something that never changes. It is a spiritual principle. The law, gravity is a law because it always works. There's no such thing as gravity not working. You can override it, you can interfere with it, but it always works. What goes up must come down. If you jump off your roof, you're going down. If you do it a million times out of a million times, how many times are you going down? Because why? Because it's a law. It always works. It is a it's a biblical law, just like seed time and harvest. What you sow, you will reap. Glory to God. It's a biblical law, just like the law of gravity, that we are greatly, everybody say greatly, we are greatly, all of us, influenced and stirred up by and swayed by what and who we associate with. We are greatly stirred up and incited and influenced by what we are exposed to. 1 Corinthians 15:33 in the New Testament says, do not be deceived. Stop right there. Do not be deceived. That means you can be deceived in this area. So it says, do not be deceived. That means you can be deceived. Do not be deceived. This is an area you can be deceived. So don't be deceived. And he says, why? Because evil company corrupts good habits. In other words, wrong associations will negatively influence you and lead you to wrong thoughts, wrong beliefs, and wrong types of behavior. So if you associate with things or people that are ungodly and carnal and immoral, or that just don't preach the truth, preach things that are not the truth, those things will incite you and stir you up and sway you and influence you to believe wrong things and to act in ungodly ways. And there are people that they think they can violate this. People that think they can violate this law might as well jump off a 20-story building thinking they can violate the law of gravity. You cannot violate this law. And it goes across all realms. Obviously, if you hang around people that are sensual and immoral and ungodly, they'll stir up your flesh to think wrong thoughts and to do some ungodly things and so forth. We understand that, but it works in all areas. It applies in all areas. Are you listening to me? I know when we were first started, there were so many people. Trying to find something here. Where'd that go? There were so many people that they would, you know, they would come to our meetings on a local level. You know, we had home Bible study meetings, and you know, I was the first pastor of a church. I was their first pastor of a group of smaller than this section right here, right now, and. You know, we had Thursday night meetings. So they would go to their church on Wednesday, but they'd come out to hear us on Thursday nights, you know, the charismatic word pastor, you know. And they'd get excited about hearing teaching on the gifts of the Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Ghost and healing and so forth. And some of them were in wheelchairs. Some of them desperately needed to be healed. And not only would they come to our local meetings, but they'd go to Brother Hagin's meetings. They'd go to Brother Copeland's meetings. But then on Sunday morning, they'd go right back to their denominational church. And people would pat them on the back and say, "It's so wonderful that you're just suffering so patiently for the glory of God in your sickness and disease." And they'd hear people say, you know, that it's not God's will to heal everybody. And they'd hear people say things like, you know, faith is, you know, God doesn't answer every prayer. Faith, real faith, is just praying and then leaving it in the hands of God. If he says yes, then that's his will. If he says no, then that's his will. That's not what faith is. Nowhere in the Bible is that the definition of faith. But that's the average person's definition of faith. You just leave it in the hands of God and trust him to do the right thing. That's not faith. And so they'd be hearing these things. You're suffering for the glory of God. God's trying to teach you something. Healing passed away with the last apostle. Glory to God. You know, and even with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Oh, no, those are crazy people. Don't have anything. Yet they'd come to our meeting because they desperately needed to be healed. You know, but those people that were so, that those people that kept going both places, almost none of them got healed. Almost none of them. Because you see, they would go to those places and they would be associated and hear all that stuff, and it would cause them to be confused, and it would cause them to doubt and cause them to wonder and not be sure whether if it was God's will to heal them or not. Well, as long as you don't know it's God's will to heal you and you're confused about it and you wonder about it, then you're not going to have any faith to receive what Jesus has done for you. But see, they were deceived. They thought, no, I can go to both places and it won't affect me. That's like jumping off a 20-story building and saying it won't affect me. We are all tremendously associated. So listen, even though you are a Christian and born again and you've been redeemed, wrong associations are grave clothes that will cause you to struggle. Are you listening to me? To believe biblical truth, like I'm healed or I'm righteous or I'm loved, I'm forgiven, I'm more than a conqueror, I'm healed, sin has no more dominion over me. If you associate with the wrong kinds of things, those grave clothes will incite you to live wrong and stir up your flesh to sin, and so you will struggle to overcome sin. We see this especially with new Christians. They're trying to, as we used to say in the old days, they're trying to hang on to the world and hang on to God at the same time, and they wonder why they struggle. Because they're being influenced by the wrong things. It's a biblical law. You will be influenced by what you associate with. In the Old Testament, there's one story, you know, where God told the people of Israel, he said, listen, you got this great enemy army coming against you. He said, call your troops together and have everybody raise their hand that's afraid. I'm paraphrasing. Everybody that's afraid, raise their hand. Tell them to go home. I'm the general. I don't want to lose any troops. I mean, I don't want to go from having, you know, 700,000 troops down to 300 because 400,000 of them are afraid. Let them go out there and stop bullets or something. I mean, dear God, we're going to go out with 300,000 now against our enemy that has 1 million people? God said, let them go home. He said, because their fear will infect everybody else and cause everybody to become afraid. See, that's the power of associations. Amen. Glory to God. I said, glory to God. You are and will be influenced by what you associate with. That's the spiritual law. 1 Corinthians 15:33, the Passion Translation says, "So stop fooling yourselves!" Exclamation point. Stop fooling yourselves. Evil companions will corrupt good morals and character. Now, here's what's interesting. In context, Paul is not talking about people influencing the Corinthians to sin and do wicked things. He's talking about teachers that are teaching them wrong things. Specifically, he's talking about teachers that are telling him that Jesus wasn't raised from the dead. He said, if you keep listening to those people, they are going to influence what you believe. So quit deceiving yourselves, cut yourselves off from those people, and don't listen to them anymore. Jesus was raised from the dead. But you'll believe something as stupid as he wasn't if you associate yourself with that. Because those wrong teachings, in this case about the resurrection, but wrong teachings about healing or about tongues or about faith, will influence you and cause you to struggle and be restricted in your Christian walk. But this principle applies to all areas of life, every area of life. Amen. And by the way, don't be deceived. You know, right now in the world, you know, there's a revival of sensationalists going on. That means people that believe today, modern day people, modern day preachers, modern day influencers with millions of followers that believe the gifts of the Spirit and healing and tongues and the baptism of the Holy Ghost all passed away with the last apostle. It was only for the early church. There's a big revival of Reformed theology going on, even in some very mainline denominations. Sometimes they're kind of quiet about it, but if you look at their theology, you'll find that they believe in true predestination. They don't even believe you can be saved by calling on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ unless he you were predestined to be saved, much less get healing or anything else from God. You can't even be saved. It's not by faith and grace. It's just all by grace. You don't have anything to do with it. God wants you saved. I always want to know, well, why are you preaching the gospel then? I mean, what's the use, dude? But let me tell you, they've got all kind of clever ways to explain this. And all kind of clever ways to explain why the last apostle that died, that was the end of the gifts of the Spirit and the gifts of tongues and the end of healing and so forth. You know, I was telling Dr. Winona before the service that when you look at those that are born-again Christians, and by the way, that's the only type of Christian there is, a born-again Christian. But you understand, if you look up like in the Old Asian Encyclopedia or AI or something, when they list Christians, they list people that even scoff at the idea of being a Christian. They scoff at the resurrection. They scoff at the idea of being saved. They scoff at the fact that Jesus is the Son of God, yet they fall under Christian religiously. So they don't even consider, you know, there's nothing Christian about them. So when you look at, I know they did the Baptists did a survey in Miami, Florida one time among people that call themselves Christians, and they found that among the religious community there that only like 23% of the people that said they were Christians were actually Christians, that had a born-again experience and believed Jesus was the Son of God, that he was raised from. The Bible teaches, you know. And I'm convinced that worldwide, those that are truly Christians worldwide, about 60% of them are tongue-talking Christians. And so these secessionists are telling us that you're all full of baloney. You're all emotional. None of you are right. You're all wrong. You know, it's like telling me I don't have a ring. I don't have an arm. Well, I don't have a hand. I don't have ears. Because they don't have them. You see? Glory to God in the name of Jesus. So Andrew Womack says this. He says, Paul was continuing to argue for the resurrection. He was saying that the wanton talk and actions of those who were denying the resurrection so they could indulge themselves had corrupted these Christian beliefs. They need to disassociate themselves. But there's a much broader application of the truth here, which is borne out in many passages, is that association with evildoers tends to corrupt us. Some ridicule this, thinking that if one is really strong, association with evil can't hurt. Paul said we are deceived if we think that. There is no doubt all of us encounter evil, and the Lord did not himself pursue a monastic life. That means he didn't live like a monk and seclude himself and, you know, just stay away and not associate with anything. No, he got out and ministered to people. Glory to God. We are the salt of the earth, and we need to get out of the shake if we're to do any good. But our contact with the world has to be controlled. We need to be the ones doing the ministering, not the other way around. Association with people who are doing evil is all right if we are ministering to them. But exposing ourselves to the talk and ways of the ungodly is a great mistake and has corrupted many good and teaching people. That's what this scripture is saying, praise God. So again, we are influenced by what we associate with. Lot, you know, the Bible calls Lot a righteous man. But it also says that he was greatly influenced by the people of Sodom and Gomorrah, and it cost him dearly. So when you find Lot sitting at the gates of the city, you know what that means? That means he was a leader. When the Bible in the Old Testament talks about that, that's where the leaders would gather to do civil authority, you know, to do government work. And Lot was one of the leaders of the city, of this terribly wicked city. And his family laughed at him. You know, he got so influenced by it that he said, here, take my daughters and abuse them. Are you kidding me? I'm going to be like that pastor that's in the news. I'm going to knock your head off. You know what I'm talking about? If you don't, look it up. Glory to God. Proverbs 13:20 says, he who walks with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools will be destroyed. Again, right associations will influence you for God and for good and the truth and righteousness and wisdom. But the companion of fools will be destroyed. If someone is experiencing a lot of trouble in their life, a lot of harm, a lot of difficulty, struggling to overcome, struggling to live the kind of life they know God wants them to live, this could be the reason why, and this could be the key to their victory. Amen. Wrong associations that promote and stir up wrong beliefs and wrong attitudes and sinful passions and unhealthy emotions. And these things, now listen to me. I'm going to sound like an old-fashioned preacher here, but these wrong associations can come through music, can come through TV, can come through friends, and even things that should be for good. It can come through education. It can even come from religion and from pulpits. But if you don't want to struggle and be hindered in your Christian walk in life, do not be deceived. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You cannot associate with wrong things and believe right and live right. In Proverbs 12:26, it says, the righteous should choose his friends carefully, for the way of the wicked leads them astray. Well, is that true or not? The righteous should choose his friends carefully, for the way of the wicked leads them astray. You are not smarter than God. I am not smarter than God. You cannot hang around that stuff and not be influenced by it. You are deceived if you think you can. Psalms 1 says, blessed! Who wants to be blessed? But we know that Psalm 1 says, you're blessed. And you'll be prosperous, not just in the financial realm, but in every walk of life, in every area of life. If you meditate in the Word of God day and night, if you put the Word of God before your eyes and listen to it and plant the truth of God's Word in your heart, then you'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of living water. You know, a tree in the desert, if it's planted by an oasis of water, its roots go down and draws water in. And so it doesn't matter how hot it gets. It doesn't matter the pressure of the heat and the drought. It just keeps getting nourished through that water because it's planted. Well, that's what happens when the Word of God is planted in your heart. But you know what Psalms 1 first says? It says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel, the advice, the plans, the instructions of the ungodly. Why? Because they will influence you and sway you and incite you to do the wrong thing, to believe the wrong thing, to experience the wrong things. The Spirit-filled Life Bible, a lot of you have that, says the friends one chooses determine to a large extent one's destiny and success in life. Godly counsel is a prerequisite to prosperity or to being blessed. This psalm goes on to say that those who listen to and plant God's word in their heart shall prosper. Glory to God. Hallelujah. In 1 Kings 11, let's look at that. 1 Kings 11. I don't know what we're going to do here because we're just trying to set up what we're trying to get to. 1 Kings 11. Verse number 1. King Solomon. Wisest man that ever lived. But he thought he could violate this principle. Do not be deceived. King Solomon loved many foreign women, as well as the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Sidonians, and Hittites. Verse 2, from the nations of whom the Lord had said to the children of Israel over and over again, you shall not intermarry with them, nor they with you. Surely they will turn away your hearts after other gods. In other words, you cannot associate with these people. You can win them over to the Lord. You know, it's interesting. Like I said, I'm reading in the Old Testament. You can read that some of David's mighty men were for some of these groups. He was an Ammonite. He was a Hittite. These were people that came over and obviously accepted the God of the Israelites. But you cannot, you know, these people that are living in sin, you can minister to them and you can love them and you can be kind to them, but you cannot associate with them and intermarry with them and intermingle with them and listen to their philosophies and not be influenced by it, not be incited by it, not be swayed by it and stirred up by it. But Solomon married all these people. It says Solomon clung to these in love. Verse number 3, and he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. His wives turned away his heart. And even in the end of his life, he's even, you know, praying some prayers and making some sacrifices to idols, Solomon. Why? Because he was greatly influenced by what he associated with. For it was so, verse 4, when Solomon was old, that his wives turned his heart after other gods. And his heart was not loyal to the Lord his God, as was the heart of his father David. Glory to God. Wrong associations will turn your heart away from God and away from the truth and the way and his way of doing things and his ways that bring peace and joy and victory to your life. So take off the grave clothes of wrong associations. Amen. Now, what about wrong associations and things we experienced and felt and were involved with before you got saved? Do these past tense, before we were saved, wrong associations and exposure to evil and wrong things influence us and hinder us and trip us up and bind us like Lazarus was bound in his grave clothes? They absolutely do not have to. They absolutely do not have to. Again, we are born again, new creatures in Christ Jesus. We've got a new identity and we've been set free from our past sins and our past lives. Translated out of the kingdom of darkness. Translated out of the power and dominion of darkness. So no, our old associations, which caused a lot of messed up thinking. I mean, sometimes our associations were unfair. I mean, it's totally unfair if you're a six-year-old and your parents are goofed up, alcoholics, abusive. I mean, I've read stories about fathers that pimp their daughters out at 12 and 13 and 14 years old, many stories. Well, that caused her to be associated with a lot of things that resulted in all kinds of messed up thinking and caused her to feel tremendous shame and guilt and had all kind of crazy bad thoughts. But that wasn't, I know that's a bad example, but it's a good one to explain what I'm talking about. People were exposed, you know, unfairly through those in authority over them to strife, to division, to anger, to murder, to witchcraft, to drugs, to alcoholism, to abuse, to rejection, to fear, and to all kinds of immorality. Thank God we have a new identity in Christ Jesus. But you have to walk in the light of that. You have to walk in that light of that. So we are set free from these things that we experienced before we were saved, and they do not have to control us. But can they? And the answer is yes. We meet Christians all the time who are greatly influenced by things that they were associated with before they got saved. Amen. And they're messed up in their thinking because of it, and they need to be free of it. We have to loose them and let them go. We have to set them free. Glory to God. You know, it's just a fact that a lot of abusive people had abusive parents. A lot of alcoholics had alcoholic parents, and on and on and on and on and on. Psychiatrists and psychologists, even Christian psychiatrists and psychologists, tell us the root cause of a lot of bad behavior and immoral behavior is because people feel tremendous guilt and shame. Can you imagine feeling guilty and ashamed of the things that Jesus set you free from? But people feel guilty and ashamed even though Jesus has forgiven. People feel guilty and ashamed about things that was beyond their control because they were just a little six-year-old kid when this stuff was happening to them. Nonetheless, the law of association kicked in. And so you got to deal with it. It's like you buy a new home, you know, but it's a used home. You get it and you go, why didn't the former owner do this? And why didn't he take care of that plumbing problem? Why didn't he do this? Well, forget blaming him. Just deal with the issue. You inherited the issue, so you got to deal with it. I said, you inherited the issue, so you got to deal with it. Now, I don't personally believe in what some people call generational curses. I believe in association that caused all this stuff in our lives that you can be free from. The biblical principle I see is associations and that Jesus set us free. Glory to God. So a lot of Christians stumble and struggle like a person in grave clothes over past experiences and associations and the effects of living a sinful life. You see, because now, you know, I'm not going to blame everybody on our parents and how they raised us or didn't raise us. You know, as I got older, I chose to live a very carnal, sinful, wicked lifestyle. And I purposely associated myself with things that caused a lot of messed up thinking in my emotions and in my mind and in my thought life and so forth and so on. Amen. I mean, I welcomed those wrong thoughts. Glory to God. And sometimes Christians struggle to overcome fleshly desires they were willingly involved with before they were saved. Those Christians are very much being stirred and driven and influenced by wrong associations before they were saved. So let's get down to it. I'm going to skip over. The most important thing is, how do we get rid of that? How do we get rid of those grave clothes? Listen to me. Here's something very important. Many times people were associated with things they had no control over, but it's true even if you did have control over it. Their parents and others exposed them to some things that were unhealthy at best and extremely evil at worst and extremely unfair. And many are very, very bitter about what people did to them in their past lives, but that's also true of a Christian about what happened to them. They're very bitter about it. But listen, you cannot be bitter about what somebody did to you and be released from your past. People struggle to overcome certain sins. They hate the sin. Their parents were involved in the same sin, but they don't seem to be free of it. And the root cause of it is because they're operating in unforgiveness and bitterness. Operating in unforgiveness and bitterness ties that thing to you and causes you to go out and repeat the same behavior. So you must learn to forgive those who have wronged you. Others feel tremendous guilt and shame, which again leads to all kind of bad behavior. Glory to God. I said, glory to God. Sir, listen to me. So again, if you were exposed and associated unfairly or because you did it to yourself as a sinner, nevertheless, whatever the reason, you have to deal with the wrong thoughts and wrong fleshy stirrings that you were exposed through those wrong associations. And all Christians have to deal with thoughts and beliefs and fleshly desires because of the particular sins they were involved with before they got saved. 1,001 things you could say about that. But bottom line, how do you take off the grave clothes? Number one, very important, forgive anyone in your past who in essence forced you to be associated with something evil. Forgive them. Let it go. Forgive them and let it go. You want to be released from your grave clothes? Forgive it and forget. And not just somebody that forced you to be involved with wrong associations, but anybody that's ever done anything evil to you, even after you got saved, if you want to be released from that and forgive and set free from that, then release it and let it go through forgiveness. When you forgive them, you let it go. If you don't let it go, you'll never be free of it. You'll still be stumbling around in your grave clothes. Amen. Glory to God. I said glory to God. Listen, we've all been victimized. Everybody has victimized, but I am not a victim. I am a victor in Christ Jesus. Somebody stole something from you. Somebody told lies about you. Somebody mistreated you. Somebody stabbed you in the back. Somebody, you know, cheated you in business and or told lies about you that hurt your business. We've all been victimized, but you don't have to become we've all been treated unfairly. Glory to God. Amen. But blaming others and blaming God and feeling sorry for yourself won't help a thing. Dwelling on the past won't help. Being bitter won't help, because the Bible clearly says, a wounded spirit, who can bear it? A wounded, broken spirit. So if you're down, depressed, negative, hurt, full of doubt, full of fear, bitter, and unforgiveness, that's a wounded spirit. And the Bible says, no one can bear a wounded spirit. People come to counseling by the droves, wanting you to help them bear their wounded spirit. And the Bible already said it's impossible to bear a negative, broken, defeated, doubt-filled, fear-filled, bitter spirit. What you have to do is let go of it and believe God and trust God and forgive and be free of it, not try to bear it. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And when you let go of it and you forgive those and you believe the devil's power is broken over your life and that you're more than a conqueror and that you're worthy and forgiven and righteous, that's putting on the new clothes. Amen. I said amen. Number two, submit to the lordship of Jesus and resist the devil, things we've already talked about really. Number four, believe that Jesus has set you free. Glory to God. And number four, make sure you present tense, associate yourself with godly things and godly people and godly teaching, biblical teachings. So take off the grave clothes and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Amen. Let's stand up together. Glory to God. Put on the new man. Again, it's not about behavior modification. It's not you struggling to make yourself holy and get free of your past. It's about believing that Jesus set you free from your past and that you are a new creature in Christ Jesus. You're identified with Him and His life. Glory to God. Let's all say this together. Can we do that? First of all, can I just ask you to close your eyes and bow your heads? I'm sorry I rushed through this so much. I knew I had about 3 hours worth that I was going to try to get in 35 minutes, but it's okay. It's okay. Tell me it's okay. I need it. I'm desperate. Thank you. Is there anybody you need to forgive? Say, that was dirty. What they did to me was dirty. What they did to me was, well, my parents, they didn't love me like they should have loved me. They rejected me. They spoke evil things. We're always talking about words. They're the ones that were, they spoke evil things about me. If you want to be free from those things, forgive them. Just bottom line, that's what I need. Just forgive them. Forgive them. Let it go. Forgive them. Amen. Hallelujah. Only you can do that. Say this with me. Say, I forgive those who unfairly expose me through association to wrong things before I was saved. I have been delivered from association with evil and from my past life. My past has no dominion over me. I submit to God's word, which tells me I'm a new person in Christ. I'm set free from my past. I'm not a slave to my past. I've been freed from the power of sin. There is right now, no condemnation to me. I'm in Christ. I'm ruled by faith in God's word, and not by what my senses tell me. I believe God's word. I am who God says I am. I have what God says I have. And I can do what God says I can do. I'm free, 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 free. Now shout about that a little bit, praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. I'm a new creation. Glory to God. I read that a long time ago, but you can meditate on that throughout all eternity. I'm in Christ. You're like Jesus. Believe it. Believe it. Believe it. Oh, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. No longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God. I died with Him. I was crucified with Him. That man And everything of the past of that man no longer exists in my life. I have no guilt. I have no shame. I am forgiven. I am righteous. I'm a brand new creature in Christ Jesus. So you've said that about 20 times this morning. I know. I wish I'd have said it 1,000. Glory to God. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. My past is in the past. I'm born again. I'm a new man. Yeah. Glory to God. God bless you. You're dismissed. Thank you, Lord Jesus.